First off, let me say one thing. Everything I have done, I have earned. My contract, that's my bread, and I earn my bread. So kiss my ass. Dead serious, write that. I earn that fucking money.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. And today's Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast is also brought to you by MyBookie. Sign up now and get your deposit matched with an up to 50% bonus using the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com. And you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_Beeble. We're going to talk about the four games that we had on Monday. We're going to preview the 11 games for Tuesday for DFS. We're going to shine the player spotlight on Julius Randle of the Los Angeles Lakers. And yes, there will be Brandon Jennings talk. So Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it. To it.
Got an email today saying that Michael Bolton is touring Australia with a symphony tour. So that made me laugh. I want him to play Jack Sparrow. That's it. I'm not going to be going, but that would make me laugh quite a bit. Anyway, let's get into all the action because there is quite a bit to talk about. We will start with the monstrous line of the night for Monday's action, and it is Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers. 32 points for Lillard with 7 triples, 5 rebounds, 10 assists. He was 8 of 19 from the field and 9 of 10 from the free throw line. He has obviously been excellent this year and taken his game to a completely different level. Fantasy-wise as well. He was the 17th ranked player last year, 18th the year before. This year, he is all the way up to 9th, and over the last month, he is the 6th ranked player. But what's changed? Well, he's contributing more threes. He hit 2.9 last year. He's at 3.3 this year. His scoring is exactly the same, 27 points and 27 points. His field goal percentage is the same as well, 44.4 last year, 44.6 this year. But the things that have changed with him is he's given you an extra half a rebound a game. He's giving you almost an additional assist per game, 0.7 more. He's got his steals at 1 per game. Still not a great number, but slightly up on last year. And his free throw percentage has jumped 1%. And when you're getting to the line 7 times per game, that's a pretty big deal. That's like a half of a standard score jump there from, say, a Z score of 2 to 2.5. And all those little tiny improvements, tiny increments, have allowed Lillard to jump into the top 10 this year. He has been electric from three recently, over 40% over the last 3 months. In all his recent splits, he's shooting over 40%, but just 38 on the season, meaning he did start the year off slow. He's averaging over 33 points over the last 11 games with 6 assists. But the one thing that is, look, if he could get you 1.6 steals per game, he would be like a top 4 James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry type of fantasy guy. The fact that he hovers at like 1 steal, 0.9 steals, that takes some of the value. He's still very, very good, clearly. But if he could just get those numbers, if he could get more steals, and it's unlikely given what he is as a defender and Terry Stotts' defensive scheme that he's ever going to do that. We see that problem with CJ McCollum as well, that he doesn't get many steals. But he would have that, you know, ability to really, really push forward and become even more elite than what he currently is. But obviously, it's been an excellent stretch from Damian Lillard. We hear talk about him being in the MVP conversation. I don't think there's any conversation. To me, it's Harden. But yeah, no doubt Lillard is getting votes as a second place, third place, probably third or fourth place sort of guy, along with Curry, along with Durant, along with Anthony Davis, along with LeBron. Those sort of players are in the mix for the top 5 for the MVP. He has been absolutely sensational for this Portland team. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Garrett Temple of the Sacramento Kings. 15-7 for Temple with 3 triples, 1 assist, 2 steals and a block. He was 5 of 9 from the field and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. I have absolutely no idea why he would have played 29 minutes in this game, in a game that Buddrick Hield could not even crack 20. Yeah, Temple has these weird games, but there is absolutely zero reason for him to be playing minutes like this at this time of the year. He is not a good NBA player. Other guys aren't good NBA players either, but they are, you know, like Hield and Justin Jackson, but they are not 32 years of age, which is what Temple is. So while this is a nice performance, and he is weirdly just outside the top 100 over the last 2 weeks, there's going to be so much fluctuation in his ability. He's also shooting over the last 2 months 50% from the field. And for the season, he's at 42. That just shows you how piss poor his shooting was to begin the year. And he is a guy that's never been as efficient a shooter as what he is this year. He's at, I said, 50% over the last 2 months. Well, actually, that's not true, because he's at 42 for the year. He was at 42 last year. But these last 20 games or so, he's shooting really crazy numbers, 45 from three. But his previous seasons, 40%, 40%, 36%. On a real extended hot streak, and that's what's pushing that value up to, you know, maybe where you look and go, well, based on the rankings and based on these, he'd be a 14, maybe 12 team league guy. I don't buy it at all. That field goal percentage is really the only thing that's keeping him in that zone. He's also shooting, you know, crazily well from the free throw line on limited attempts. 87% over his last 11 games when he was a 76% shooter for the season. So a lot of things going in his direction. He does very little aside from those percentages at the moment. The minutes are going to fluctuate, but this is the king. So when guys should be minimized, they seem to get extra playing time, and I don't get it. I don't understand what Dave Yeager and this Kings organization is doing, but you've heard me mention that plenty of times. Now I'm going to tell you about a sponsor for today's podcast, and that is the fabulous folks over at mybookie.ag. It's time to talk to you about the boatload of money that you can make this week by betting at mybookie. If you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect time to get into the action. The madness of March is here. Yes, it is March. Lay down some money and you can score big on college hoops. Go and join thousands of online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? MyBookie will handle that stuff for you almost instantaneously. You should be heading there. When you win, they pay. And with all your basketball knowledge, you can definitely make some money betting on NBA games, but of course, betting on college basketball's championship over the next couple of weeks. You're wasting your time if you're betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting, so you can even place a game after tip-off. If you join now, MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. You can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million bracket challenge. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie today, play, win, and get paid. The young gun of the night, we're going back to Sacramento for that, and that is my man, BB8, Bogdan Bogdanović. 19-8-3 for Bogdan with 3 triples, 6 of 11 from the field, and 4 of 5 from the free throw line. It had been a really lean run from him recently. His previous 3 games had netted him 14 points in total, 0-8-6. But today he had 19 points, shot the ball well. He was, you know, terrible when he's shooting in those previous 3 games as well. He'd taken 28 shots and hit 5 of them across those games. So that's obviously pretty piss poor. But when the shot is on, the numbers look good. 19-8-3 is great. But just 4 games ago, he had a 22-1-7 game. He had 15-5 the game before that, 23-6-3. We had seen him start to fade. And the minutes, of course, because why would you want to develop someone when they're pushing through a poor streak? You want to punish them, of course. That's the best way to coach. You're playing shit, you're in trouble. That's the best way to go about it. Dave Yeager knows all about that sort of stuff. So Bogdanović's minutes were reduced, but he played well in this one. They jumped back up. He did start off this ball season shooting the ball really well. That has dipped, though. Over the last 2 months, we're talking 42% from the field. Still shooting 40% from three, but an overall dip in his field goal percentage. But really good assists, gets steals, hits threes, scoring a bit with nice rebounds. His numbers are going to be around that 26, 27 to 30 minute mark. I wish they would push him further into the 30s, but again, common sense doesn't always abound with the way that they run things here in Sacramento. But you know I like Bogdanović. You know I think he is their best player on this team. And he can be a guy that is a top 60 or 70 guy down the stretch. He might not be. The percentages is what's really going to swing that. But if he can find himself at 32 minutes and get a little bit of a bump in usage, and get the shot to fall at a, you know, November-December type of rate rather than January-February, then you are looking at a guy who can be a very, very handy addition if he is on your waiver wire to a fantasy championship winning team. The dud of the night. I tell a man's not hot. I don't think there's too much debate that Eric Gordon is the one here. 1 point with 1 rebound and 2 assists. He missed all 7 of his shots and 1 of 2 from the free throw line. Now, I know that I did say that when James Harden comes back, his play is going to drop off. Didn't really expect it to go down to this level. He had 26 points in the last game, and he was coming off a string of 7 consecutive double-figure scoring games. But with Harden back, he really, really struggled in this game. But that's not always going to be the case. He's not going to shoot 0% from the field. But what happens is he just doesn't get to the line as much. He doesn't drive as much. He doesn't get as many assists with both Harden and Chris Paul are playing, and that causes his value to drop pretty significantly. He is the 89th ranked player this season. Yes, no doubt about that. But so much of that came without Chris Paul first, without Harden after that, without Chris Paul again. And over the last 2 months, when those two guys have mainly been healthy, he is outside the top 140. He provides good threes, really good threes, 3 triples per game he's averaging this year. Really good scoring at 18 for the year, but over the last 2 months, down to 15.5, tying in with a smaller role that he's got. But just very little else. No steals, no blocks, no assists really, which again have dipped significantly, and a pretty poor rebounder on low field goal percentage. If you're in a 10-team league, he is not a guy you need to own. Unless you're just, man, I need threes. I need a guy who's going to get me 12 threes a week. He can be that guy. I need points. I need someone who'll get me 60 points a week. Then Gordon provides that. But it's we're not in the time of year where you're just going, man, Eric Gordon, I know that that's a name. He's had some good times. If he's not doing it for you at the moment, then you move on. And if even if he is scoring and he is hitting threes and you go, you know what, I'm going to lose points by 140 this week, well, doesn't matter. And you got to have that same attitude when you get into into holding injured guys. Oh, yeah, John Wall might be back next week. Do I hold him? Well, if you lose this week, are you actually going to be around to play next week? Can you afford 3 zeros during the week? And a lot of the time, the answer to that is going to be no. So it's all about looking at matchups, looking what your team looks like. Do they need the strengths that these guys provide? Because you might be able to stream in 6 games out of Eric Gordon's slot and help yourself out in steals and blocks and in assists and rebounds and boost your field goal percentage, as opposed to what he's doing, which might become either superfluous or nowhere near enough for you to battle in that category. And these are the tough decisions that you do need to make at this time of the season. We are going to go through all of the action for the rest of Monday's games. There were only 4 of them, so let's get stuck straight into those right now and go through some of that. And of course, this is where we will get into what everyone wants to hear about. And I know I'm not actually taking the piss, because everyone wants to hear about Brandon Jennings. We won't get into that one straight away. The first game we'll talk about is the Sacramento Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder. We've talked about Garrett Temple. We've talked about Bogdan Bogdanovic, but De'Aaron Fox was also really solid. 11 points on 12 shots, so field goal percentage is going to be an issue. Had the 10 assists, had a triple one, and looked really active out there. He's a guy that you do want to own, but as the caveat goes with everyone, depends on how it fits with what your team is currently doing. Not every single veteran played in this game for the Kings, so that resting protocol has been out the window for the last 2, while Bud Hield, only the 15 minutes for 3 points. Just nonsense. You can say whatever you want. Oh, we were pushing the Thunder. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Simple as that. Zach Randolph got torched by Carmelo Anthony. He started because, of course, he had to start. His languid defense was piss poor. And when Melo, who has been atrocious this season, is able to blow up and score 21 points on you, then you know that there is an issue there. 23 minutes for Zach Randolph, 10-5 with 2 steals. Just no efficiency whatsoever, 28% from the field. He is a significantly negative player, and maybe starting him is just so they lose games. Maybe, but again, you're still losing development time. Now, I know that Scalabissier was out, but Willie Cauley-Stein came off the bench for the second consecutive game so that Kostas Koufos and Zach Randolph can start. Cauley-Stein, he needs to be owned if someone dropped him. 9-7 with a steal and a block. We also got to experience another 23 minutes of Vince Carter. He had 5-7 with a triple one. The guy can still produce numbers. He can still play, but again, he is 40 years of age. Onto the Thunder. Melo, as I said, 21 points in 32 minutes with 5 triples, 6 rebounds, a steal and a block. Very much put him in that Eric Gordon category. You want some points and threes? Maybe Melo does that. He's doing nothing else. So if you don't need that, then you move on. Corey Brewer, the minutes keep rising. 33 minutes for Brewer. He had 16 and 6. He had 2 steals, a block, and a triple. This is Corey Brewer from 6 years ago, this sort of production. This is not something we've seen from him in a very, very long time. His role is way up. He is putting up good numbers. In fact, he's the 72nd ranked player over the last 4 games, averaging 14 points with 1.8 triples and a steal per game. But as I always say, what's standing out here? What's the percentages? Oh, Corey Brewer is shooting 50%. What did he shoot the last 3 seasons? 42, 38, and 43%. He's shooting 44% from 3 in those 4 games. He is a 25% shooter on the season. Something here is going to give. This value is not based on him hustling and getting tons of steals, which we know he can do. And if he was averaging 2 steals per game and his rank was there, I'd say, you know what? That's totally fine. I can see Brewer doing that. I can't see him coming in and averaging 14 a game on 50% shooting with 44% from 3. Those numbers are going to dip and you're going to see some more single digit scoring performances. His last 4 games for the Thunder, he's been in double digits and has shot over 50% in those last 3 games, numbers which aren't likely to continue. But for now, in a 14-team league, you have a go because he's getting 30 minutes, that's working out, but just expect there to be some level of drop-off in what Corey Brewer is currently doing. Russell Westbrook had his 99th career triple-double, was inefficient in doing so, only 1 of 3 from the line, so let's hope that free throw issue isn't back. 17, 10, and 11, while Paulie George had 21, 6, and 5 on a similarly inefficient night, 39% from the field. Steve Adams played with the ankle injury and then hurt his hip and wasn't able to go or continue. 6 and 6 in 23 minutes with 2 blocks. He was in the midst of putting up a pretty nice line there against the Kings. We have to wait and see. I would think there's a massive chance that he doesn't play on Tuesday. The Thunder have a back-to-back and we see guys like Patrick Patterson, Jeremy Grant, and Dakari Johnson perhaps get those center minutes there. But I wouldn't be too panicky if I owned Steve-O Adams. Terry Ferguson also played or came back from his concussion. He played 11 minutes more than Alex Abrines, who only played 7, but they're really not touching the sides anywhere. Well, Joshy Huestis, who went from 20-minute starter and playing well as a starter, he saw only 3 minutes of action. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's start with the player du jour, and that is Brandon Jennings, who made his season debut for the Bucks, his second go-around for the Milwaukee Bucks, and those numbers are absolutely spectacular. 16 points, 3 triples, 8 rebounds, 12 assists, 56% shooting, 50% from 3 for a true shooting of 78%. Looking at a triple-double, which we know everyone loves a triple-double, looking at a triple-double in his first game for the season after playing 13 games over in China and 7 games so far in the G League. I've gotten into plenty of arguments with Jahlil Okafor fans on Twitter, with Derrick Rose fans on Twitter, with Andrew Wiggins fans on Twitter, with Russell Westbrook fans on Twitter. And yeah, there's been some weird ones. The Derrick Rose one's obviously the weirdest of that. But I was not expecting the way that everyone is bending over backwards to justify the production of Brandon Jennings. I like Brandon Jennings. I have always been a big fantasy fan of his through his time in Detroit, back in Milwaukee. He was a perfect mid-round punt field goal percentage point guard. Would get you assists, would get you threes, would get you steals. He had value. He had multiple top 50 punt field goal percentage seasons. But he's been bad. He has been terrible the last 2 seasons. He is not a good shooter. And you know the golden rule. What is happening with the percentages? When we look at this, 16, 8, and 12 is brilliant. And you can look at it from 2 ways. He did that in only 24 minutes. And you can go, imagine if he played 30. He'd be killing it. And that's true. But if you convert that to per 36, Brandon Jennings' last 2 seasons in the NBA, he averaged 4 rebounds per 36 minutes. Today, he averaged 12 rebounds per 36. So he is not historically going to rebound anywhere near this. He averaged over his past 4 years, 8, 8.3, 7.1, 7.9 assists per 36. Today, 18 per 36. No way that is going to continue. His field goal percentage his past 4 seasons, 37, 40, 37, 36. Today, 56. His games in the G League, 35% from the field. He is a career sub 40% field goal shooter in 500 plus games. This game today, he is not going to be rebounding at this rate. He is not going to be getting assists at this rate. He is not going to be shooting 15% higher than career averages or 17% higher from three, which is what he did in this game. That won't happen. He also played 24 minutes because Eric Bledsoe got into foul trouble. He picked up his fourth foul in about the first 2 minutes of the third quarter, and they played 24 minutes apiece. I am not saying that you shouldn't be adding Jennings in any situation, but every single part of this game is completely unsustainable. Him and Bledsoe are not playing 24 minutes a night as the season goes on. It's not happening. This is not what's going on. Brandon Jennings has been very bad the last 2 years. This was a very good performance, and I like Jennings, and it's great to have him back in the NBA. But I got into arguments or discussions with people today saying, oh, no, you play 24 minutes. That's the average backup point guard plays 24 minutes. No, they don't. Because if the average backup point guard played 24 minutes, the average starting point guard would play 24 minutes. And we're not seeing Bledsoe play 24 minutes a game. Jennings did not play a single second at shooting guard in this game. And yeah, Tone Snell, Sterling Brown, Jason Terry, these are not great performers. But they do have things. Imagine a Bledsoe-Jennings backcourt. The size there is horrible for a start. You know, Snell plays for his defense. Brown can do many things. Terry, fine. Get his ass out of the rotation. But Matthew Dellavedova, yes, he had a setback, but he's been ruled out one more game. He could be back when Brogdon comes back. Where is Jennings getting these minutes? Is he playing 24 a night? And even if he plays 24 a night, he will not keep up this level of per-minute production. I can 100% guarantee you that he will not be the number one player in per 36 fantasy value for this season, which is what he currently is after this one game. There is absolutely zero chance of this happening. So not only do I think that the minutes won't stick at this level, the shooting, the rebounding, the assist rate, none of that will remain the same. And if you look at him at 17 minutes per game, does he crack the top 250? Probably not. He might give you 8 points. He might give you four assists. And the four assists can be useful. Don't get me wrong. He could do that. But is this what's going to happen? Is Dellavedova and Brogdon going to play 0 minutes at point guard for the rest of the season? Or even now, are we going to see Snell and Brown cut out of the rotation so Jennings and Bledsoe can play alongside each other? I just don't understand where the love of Jennings is coming from. People are bending over backwards to justify why this is going to happen. Oh, he's familiar with the roster, someone said to me today. Is he? Literally one person on the coaching staff and on the team has played with him before, and that's John Henson. Not one single player. Giannis wasn't there. Chris Middleton wasn't there. Jabari Parker wasn't there. Bledsoe clearly. Look, not one single player on this roster had played with Brandon Jennings when he was last in Milwaukee 5 years ago or 4 years ago. There's just... You can add him, but I get the feeling that the most value that Brandon Jennings is going to produce in fantasy leagues is the player that gets dropped for him to be added. Again, could be very wrong, but I will guarantee you that this level of production won't stick. It just won't. He won't rebound at this rate or assist at this rate or shoot at this rate or frankly get these many minutes. The minutes is the one where you go, oh, maybe they play him at shooting guard and maybe they see him and Bledsoe together. But literally, this sort of stuff where we've got 500 plus games of evidence, one game doesn't make me go, oh, you know what, changed. Someone's, excuse me, oh, he's hungry now. Is he? Really? Is that how this works? He's hungry now, so all of a sudden, everything you ever learn about Brandon Jennings is wrong and he is now literally the greatest player in the NBA. That's because he's hungry. That's how it works. So just be really, and you can get desperate. I want to take a flyer on this guy, but you take a flyer and you wait two games on it and it doesn't work, you're out. The positive thing with Jennings, look, these numbers were great. They were awesome. He's got two more games this week against bad opponents on low volume days. So you can actually use him and that makes sense. Get him in there. Maybe you get 40 minutes of action out of him in those two games. That makes sense. That's using the roster wisely. That's using your streaming wisely. But is there someone else that you can use on those 2 days that will be better? I know I'm going on about him a lot, but it's just so many questions and so much chatter about Brandon Jennings. And this was an absolutely fantastic performance. But I've got to go with logic. I've got to go with the odds. And the odds say that it's not happening. It's just not going on at this level again. The rest of the Bucks. Tone Snell scored, so that was good. 12 points with 4 triples in 31 minutes, while Chrissy Middleton had 24, 6, and 4, a strong game there. Bledsoe, as I said, foul trouble. He ended up with 5 fouls in his 24 minutes, 14, 6, and 5 with 2 steals, while Yanni had 26, and 4. No Thon McCur in the rotation. He came in garbage. Oh, the other thing. The Memphis Grizzlies was the opponent for Brandon Jennings. One of the team that hasn't won a game in like 2 months is the third worst team in terms of defending against the point guards when Kobe Simmons is starting, which is what he was doing in this game. So yeah, huge factor. Yeah, in part of that performance is the fact that Kobe Simmons was the guy guarding him, and he has had significant trouble stopping opposition point guards this season. And you're not going to take on a team that is just cannot win a single game every time out, even though the next two are against Orlando and Phoenix. The Muppet played 27. He had 11 and 7 with 2 blocks. With McCurr out of the rotation, Henson's getting more playing time and providing some low-end type value. And I'd imagine Jason Terry is not going to be in the rotation for very much longer. He played 8 minutes in this one. On to the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies decided that starting Jarrell Martin and Jermichael Green again would be a great... Look, Grizzlies, you're going to lose anyway. You don't have to really go extraordinary and start, you know, centers at small forward. Martin was great. Big fan of him this year. 16, 4, and 5 in 29 minutes, while Jermichael Green had 11 and 7 with 2 steals in 29. They are both not really 12-team league players. Benny McLemore went to the bench so that Jarrell Martin could start. He still put up a good night. His play over the last week or two has been impressive. 16 points for Mac in 22 minutes, while Dylan Brooks in 30 minutes had another 16 points. He's doing absolutely nothing else, Dylan Brooks, apart from score. But him and McLemore, if you need scoring, they can be streamed in on the days when you've got a roster spot available, and they're providing it pretty consistently. Chandler Parsons did very, very little, while Kobe Simmons had 9 points and 5 assists, while Xavier Rattan-Mays had 2 and 5 with a steal and a block in his 21 minutes, but they're just 14-team sort of situation for Simmons, and yeah, deeper for Rattan-Mays. Not much else to talk about. So I apologize for going on long about Brandon Jennings, but there was a lot that I needed to say. The San Antonio Spurs and the Houston Rockets. Man, the Spurs, it looks like they're going to miss the playoffs. This was just not good again. Now, Kawhi looks like he is really close to returning either. Looking like Thursday is the target date for Kawhi. Maybe Tuesday they play again. Well, not maybe. They definitely play Tuesday. Maybe he returns there. Pretty unlikely, I'd say. Thursday is the time for Kawhi to return. Derek White led the team in scoring, and he is now the last member of the official San Antonio Spurs roster to lead the team in scoring. Every single man on the 15-man roster has led the team in scoring, and that is unbelievable for this team. As for White, 4 triples with 14 points in 19 minutes. He was a guy that, yeah, his rookie translation numbers looked okay, but he hasn't really, you know, shown much sparkle. Very hard to judge anything off this Spurs game. Aldridge was out, Manu was out, Kawhi was out, and then Pop pulled the starters after about 4 minutes, and then brought Bryn Forbes in, who then fouled immediately, and he was gone in about 30 seconds. We had Brandon Paul play 32 minutes. You had Matt Costello play 15 minutes. Very, very little point in digesting the performance in this game, because Pop just went, screw you bastards, like, you're giving me nothing. I'm going to throw these minutes all over the place, and that is exactly what happened. For the Rockets, we had Jimmy Harden back in action, putting up the big performances. Once again for Harden, he's straight back into it with a big game. He had, 28, 6 and 6, while Chris Paul had 18, 3 and 9. Gerald Green got in for some garbage time late, 14 and 9 with 4 triples in 20 minutes. In a non-blowout situation with a healthy roster, he does not play in the rotation. Ariza had 15 and 5, while Capella had 13 and 9 with a steal and a block. It's all really shits me. And I know I tweeted about this today, but you know, people was talking about Mark Jackson, who is an abomination as an announcer, wasn't much better as a head coach. But he put it out there today, Clint Capella, he should have been an all-star. He's definitely an all-star. And you can say that as much as you want, Mark, but the rule should be, who's coming off? He's an all-star. Lou Williams, he's an all-star. You can say these guys should have been an all-star, but someone has to not make the all-star team for them to get on. And I'm a massive fan of Capella, but who do you take off? Draymond Green? Probably not. No, probably not. Definitely not. Klay Thompson? No. Don't just say shit without having a, you know, let's put everyone on. Everyone can play. It's all good. The last game of the night, the Miami Heat and the Portland Trail Blazers. No Hassan Whiteside, no Dwayne Wade. The Iron Shoulder really played well for this team. 23-2-2 for Dragic in 31 minutes, while Justice Winslow's redemption tour continued. 15-13 with 4 assists, 2 blocks and 2 triples in 30 minutes. You always get the feeling the shooting is going to drop off because he shot 67% here and 55% from the field, and his 2-point shooting has been pretty bad this season. But he's playing well, and he is a fine tour. I would have him over Brandon Jennings without any hesitation whatsoever. No Whiteside, so Bam Adebayo started. Didn't do a huge amount. Foul trouble bothered him. 25 minutes, 4-9. While Joshy Richardson was also in some pretty extreme foul trouble. He only played 16 minutes with 4-2-1. I know a lot of people are disappointed with the recent play of Richardson. He has gotten into foul trouble quite a bit, though, in recent games. So I wouldn't be reading your massive amounts into the poor-ish level of performance or the low-ish minutes. Because, in fact, over the last four games, he's averaging only 24 minutes per game. But he's still a top 90 player, hitting almost 2 threes with over 2 assists, with 1.5 steals and shooting the ball well. Foul trouble has really done him in a lot of these games. There's been some blowout situations as well, like the win over the Wizards where he only played 21 minutes in that game. And so he has been limited in quite a few of them. So I'm not overly concerned by this, the low minutes or the perceived lack of production. Tyler Johnson had 17-3 with 4 triples in his 35 minutes. Olynyk was okay, 9-5-7 with 24, but he is more of a streamer than a must-own guy. On to the Blazers. Yusuf Nurkic, 31 minutes. Now, he'd been outplayed recently by Zach Collins and Ed Davis. Not so much here. A big game from him. Almost nabbed the monstrous offer, Lillard. 27-16 with 3 blocks in those 31 minutes. Good to see the minutes back up after a run where he hasn't been playing as well. Davis struggled, 3-7. Well, Zach Collins, 16 minutes for Collins, 10-4, 2 triples and a block. He hit a ridiculous 360 pirouette step back fadeaway at the end of first quarter. I could not believe what I was seeing. This kid, I think, is going to be good. You know, you've heard me talk about how his game translates for fantasy, and if he gets the minutes, he's going to be a top 50, top 70 type of guy. He has that sort of upside. High efficiency, high free throw percentage, shot blocking, 3-point shooting, decent rebounding, scoring, big man. Think of a guy like a worse shot blocking Serge Ibaka, but a better rebounder. An inferior Kristaps Porzingis. Who else do we look at? That's the sort of player that you're looking at, this shot blocking, 3-point shooting, big man. And I've been really impressed with him. He is a strong dynasty target. Evan Turner, 31 minutes, 13-4-3. One of his better games for the season. He definitely got his bread in this one. Nothing to really see there. While Mo Harkless, only the 17 minutes. Very, very little interest in what Mo is doing. Oh, CJ McCollum had 17-2-5. Just a strong, strong, solid game from Christian James. All right, let's move ourselves into the next segment of the show, and that is, of course, the Player Spotlight. We're going to go to Los Angeles for today's Player Spotlight, and we're going to be talking Julius Randle. And this is a chance for me to say to you that I was wrong. Simple as that. I did not think that Randle was a good player. I felt that I was decently justified in that to begin the season, because he wasn't good to begin the season. He pouted, he complained, he whinged, he sooked. Whinging and sooking means pouting for you guys in America. He was out of control. He just threw up any shot he could at the rim. His passing was poor. He was bad. And I think that's the sort of guy that he's been the last couple of seasons. Just this out of control, bull in a china shop type player whose defense is piss poor. But he has been absolutely excellent. And you could say, and this is not hyperbolic, he's been unstoppable over the last month to 2 months. He is a top 25 player over the last month and a top 45 player over the last 2 months. And where has this improvement come? Well, he is shooting at almost 10% better from the field. So his shot selection has improved and he's hitting those shots. He still can't hit a three, 22% this year, but his shots at the rim are fantastic. He gets to the rim whenever he wants because he's built like a brick shithouse. He can do whatever he wants in that sense. Now, he's assist numbers have fallen off for the year, 2.5 assists per game. But over the last month, 4.3 assists. They are utilizing him more. They are playing him more minutes. In this last month where he is top 25, he's averaging 21.5 and 9.2 with 4.3 assists, 0.9 steals, 0.7 blocks on 61 and 75% with a true shooting of 65 and a usage of 25. These are star type numbers. I was never convinced with this guy. I was never impressed watching him play. I thought, what is this decision making? What is this lack of defense? What is this on-court attitude that we're seeing? But he's good now. Simple. The team, for the first time in his career, is better with him on the court. It had never been the case in his first two seasons. He has seen his advanced numbers take a step forward, a PER of over 20, a true shooting of over 60, and a way above average win shares. His box score plus minus has soared into the positive. His VORP has gone up this year as well. He's a super strong rebounder, gets to the rim whenever the bloody hell he wants, and shoots at a crazy level there. 74% at the rim, which is ludicrous, and 56% of his shots are getting there. That's why his efficiency is up. He was at 44 last year at the rim, 44% of his attempts there, and shot 65%. So he's getting there, an extra 13% of his shots are coming from the rim, and he's hitting them at an additional 9%. Long twos, he's struggling at. Three-pointers, he is struggling at. But we're seeing him cut down the frequency of that. He shot 14% of his shots were long twos last year. This year it's at 9%. 8% of his shots were threes last year. This year it's 5%. And that was one of my criticisms of him. He's taking these bad, dumb shots that he can't hit. This year he's gone, I'm bad at these. These are dumb shots. I won't do it. And it has worked out fantastically. I don't know what's going to happen with him in free agency. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, there was no chance he was returning to LA. I would say nearly every Laker fan out there would be like, you know what? We can't let this guy go. No matter what happens, if LeBron wants to come, someone will go, we want Randle over LeBron. That is how well he has played, and also some of the irrational hatred of Lakers fans for LeBron. But he has been absolutely excellent this season. Now, of course, his free agency is going to determine a lot, and the Lakers' action in free agency is going to determine a lot about his fantasy value. But you would have to think he is, at this point, going to be a top 50 guy next year with really top 30 upside. But can he get higher than that? Will he ever develop an ability to get steals or block shots? You would have to say no. Oh, I don't see that happening. Will he ever shoot threes? Well, never say never. Marc Gasol, Brooke Lopez, Pau Gasol, Dwayne Dedman, they never shot threes. And all of a sudden they became good three-point shooters and reliable ones. Can he do that? All the evidence tells us no. But you know, what he does is still really valuable because he's got, you know, creation ability. Instead of spacing, he's got the spacing ability of being a really good passer and not taking the dumb shots that he was previously. So I will tell you when I say, you know what, I said this guy was good and he turned out good, I'll tell you that. But I'll also tell you when I was wrong on a guy, and I was wrong on Julius Randle. Pretty straightforward. Has been really impressive to me, one of the great stories of this season. And for what he's doing, and if this new mentality sticks, where there's no reason to think that it won't, he's going to be a force for the next, you know, four or five seasons in the NBA, you know, with that strength. And if he adds a little bit more range, a little bit more touch, the defense, I don't think that's ever coming around in that sense, but just a little bit more touch on some of his shots, he could be a real, real monster, putting up like center-based field goal percentage numbers in a guy who can facilitate and play the four and rebound like a monster as well. So heaps of value here in Julius Randle. He has been a huge, huge part of the Lakers season, and one of the reasons why they are exceeding expectations as the season goes on. Let's talk DFS for which day? I forget my days. Monday. That's the one. Let's go ahead to, I'm going to do DraftKings first because I mucked up the order. On DraftKings, the perfect lineup, Russell Westbrook, 50.5, and Chris Middleton had 40. Gerald Green in a garbage time special had 30.25. Justice Winslow, 43.25. Yusuf Nurkic, 57.5. Garrett Temple, 31.25. Corey Brewer, 31.5, and Dame Lillard, 56.75, for a total of 341, and that cost $49,700. On FanDuel, Westbrook had 43.5, and Lillard had 50. Bogdan Bogdanovic had 32.1, and Justice Winslow, 41.6. Corey Brewer, 33.7. Carmelo Anthony, 32.2. Jarrell Martin, 30.3. And Yusuf Nurkic, 56.7 for a total of 359.3. And that cost $59,500. Let's talk about the games now. We have got an 11-game slate in the NBA. I think I spoke for way too long about Brandon Jennings and Julius Randle, so strap yourselves in, guys. This is going to be a decent-sized podcast. We've got 11 games to get through from a DFS point of view. Almost tempted to hit the Michael Bolton button again. Let's go. Minnesota at Washington. The Wizards are favored by 4 points. The total is 216. How many points can Derrick Rose give up in limited minutes? That is what we're all watching for. I kid Derrick Rose fans. At point guard, Tomas Satoransky, 5,800. Just a quick note, John Wall has not practiced yet. He won't get a chance to practice until Friday, and even then may not take full contact. He is not coming back this week. I would guess end of next week is a realistic expectation, so Satoransky is still going to have that value at 5,800 in a marginally negative matchup. I think Tomas is okay, but by far, or far from the best point guard option on the board. Jeff Teague at 7,000.
My name is Jeff.
He's been pretty good since Butler's gone out, at least in producing fantasy value. I think you're going to get 30-plus out of him pretty consistently, so I like the floor for cash. There is a 50-point upside here. I've got no problem with using him. We go 6,500 for Andy Wiggins. His lowest score over his last five has been 29. That is a strong cash floor. No Butler. You can talk about his inefficiency, but he is going to just brutalize numbers in terms of getting shots up. We would hope he could somehow get some rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. But at this point, he is putting up enough numbers to consider him an okay cash guy. Bradley Beal's at 8,400. I think that's probably just teetering a little bit too high there for Beal. While Jamal Crawford at 4,000, very little to get excited about there. At small forward, Nemanja Bjelica, the 40-minute man. 5,800 is his price tag. He's been putting up strong numbers on the back of some good defensive play, averaging 33 points over his last five, which at 5,800, I don't think you should have any worries about. I'll tell you what I'm not worried about. I know Tibbs is going to play him 40 minutes, so he is going to go out there and have an ability to do that. I think he's a little bit fluctuable just with the defense is not something that's been reliable defensive stats in his career, but if he comes through and gets the steals and gets the blocks like he's been doing, then he will smash that number, so he is a decent GPP guy. Otto Porter has been involved in two blowouts since returning from his hip. 7,400 for Otto. He was constantly crushing that number before the injury, but I'm not ready to get back on there, while Oubre at 54 is a tournament sort of a player. Taj at 56, I'm happy to bang that in cash. Just going to get you 26, 27 pretty much every night, so all about Taj there, while Markeith at 56 is also a pretty good cash play, I believe. Don't think this one's really turning into a blowout at all. At center, Marcin Gortat. Jan Mehinmi. Gortat at 3,700. Oh, maybe. He's been shithouse. We know that. He's averaging 17 over the last five, but 17 at 3,700, it's not far off. What's his upside? 22, 24? So that's not a very high upside. So that takes it away a little bit. And the matchup's quite a tough one, but that price is a little bit appealing, but I wouldn't feel comfortable with it. As for Townsie, $10,000. No worries. Go with it. It's a nice one. He dominated the last game, had 55 points in that Timberwolves game against the Warriors. Absolutely no issue with using Townsie here. I think he's a good cash play. Let's have a look at how things pan out over on DraftKings. Satoransky at 54 is a good tournament guy, and Oubre at 46. I really like how low that Oubre price is. And there's a bunch of other guys who I do like for cash on DraftKings. Again, more value appearing on DraftKings. Markeith at 53. Teague at 66 is sensational. Otto Porter at 7.4, all about Porter there. And Townsie's at 9.4. Really, really like Porter on DraftKings. I think his ownership will be pretty low as well. Let's go to the next game. We're going to be looking at the Indiana Pacers and the Philadelphia 76ers. Weirdly, a game that the winner of this game has the inside track to challenge for the 3 seed, which is it is absolutely bonkers. I believe 538 has the Sixers favored to be the 3rd seed in the Eastern Conference based on their ease of schedule going home. So we'll see. This is a huge matchup for them. The total is 211.5 and the Sixers are favored by 6 points. At point guard, Timothy John McConnell is at 3,800. He's coming off a big one, 33 points in his last outing. The Collison-Joseph point guard combination is not great for allowing points, so I'm not super interested in McConnell here. As for Collison at 5,000, chance he goes back into the starting lineup. He dished 10 assists in 22 minutes off the bench in, oh, sorry, 20, no, yeah, 24 minutes off the bench in the last game. He is a great tournament guy here, and I'd have no interest in Corey Joseph. At shooting guard, JJ Redick at 4,800. No, I didn't see anything interesting. Marco Bellinelli at 4,000. Victor Oladipo at 9,500. Oladipo played well against Boston's second half. Might be just a touch high for Oladipo at 9,500. We love what he's been able to do, but he feels like he's more of an 8 to 8.5 guy than a 9.5, and I think he's in strong fade territory here. At small forward, Bob Cubs at 6,000. Averaging 37 in the last three and 33 over the last five. We know the inconsistency, but we also know that he can drop 40 pretty comfortably, and that makes him a nice tournament guy. While Bojan Bogdanovic at 5,600, his free throw attempt rate drops almost in half when he plays with Darren Collison, and Collison's back. So that takes a lot of the value away from Bojan getting those easy points. So at 5,600, he's been playing very well, and the floor is really nice. I just feel like a shit one's coming from him. I'm not too interested in locking him in. Benny Simmons at 9,000. He had 44 the last time. He averages 44 against the Pacers. You're really putting up some pretty good numbers. I think Collison and Joseph might struggle guarding him. I think they might throw Thad Young onto Ben Simmons in some of this game. Not that he's been playing well himself, but Simmons is totally fine at 9,000. There's cash value there. Maybe there's not too much tournament upside, though. I like Šarić at 6,700 as well, who just consistently is playing well, really been excellent for this team as they're pushing for their first playoff berth in the last few seasons. Thad, Ilyasova, Trevor Booker, Domantas Sabonis, I see very little interest in using any of those guys, especially Young, who's been putrid. At center, Embiid, 9,800, all about Embiid here. He's been struggling a little bit. He's aware of that. He's still getting minutes. He's still getting shots. He's missing some of his free throws as well. It's a very good matchup for Joel here. Yeah, getting to 45 shouldn't be considered any real stretch of what he can do. I like him a lot here. While Miles Turner, averaging 40 over the last three, really consistently good recently, but the Embiid matchup could be a nightmare for him, and I wouldn't want to use Miles Turner unless I'm considering it for a tournament as a low ownership punt type of scenario. On to DraftKings. Simmons at 8,000, that's a great price. I'm all about him there. While Embiid at 93, he loses a little bit of the FanDuel luster when you move across to DraftKings. I like Šarić at 6,400 there as well. While Oladipo at 8,700, more in play than what he is in FanDuel, but not necessarily one of the best ones on the board. Most of the other played sort of decisions are very similar to how it looks over on FanDuel. All right, let's go into the next game. We've got the Oklahoma City Thunder. We've got the Atlanta Hawks. Dennis Schroeder's elbow, miraculously, it's better. He's listed as probable. We know that Kent Bazemore is now out for the season. A few out for the seasons came down today. Kent Bazemore gone. Wes Matthews gone. Daniel Tice gone. And Marcus Smart dealing with torn thumb ligaments, or is he? Shams Charania reported torn thumb ligaments. Danny Ainge seemed to refute that report. Whatever it is, Smart is going to be out for a chunk of time. With Bazemore out, Tyler Dorsey moves into that spot. And in seasonal leagues, he's worth a fly. He's in that Dylan Brooks, Ben McLemore sort of a category. Far from a must-own guy. Whereas Tice's absence opens it up for Bainsey, Greggy Munro, and Marcus Morris without any of them becoming must-own 12-team league players. And with Wes Matthews gone, it opens it up for Kyle Collinsworth in deeper leagues and Yogi Ferrell. It really becomes more of a 14-team league staple. Sorry for chucking some seasonal league stuff into this one. Malcolm Delaney is out. Obviously, Bazemore is out for the Hawks. Schroeder and Isaiah Taylor are both listed as probable, while Steven Adams, who hurt his hip today, he's questionable. I would think that Adams is unlikely to play. At point guard, Isaiah Taylor is at 3,900 with no Bazemore, with no Delaney, guys who played a lot of minutes at shooting guard. Taylor's in play here. He's played quite a bit at shooting guard this season. He's been a high shot blocking, decent rebounding guy who can score. I think he is worth a look at that sub $4,000 price in what should be an elevated role for him. As for Dorsey, he's at 3,800. He should be able to bludgeon his way to at least 20 points, which makes him a cash viable player just through getting those extra minutes, which we assume he gets. While Schroeder at 6,400, I just don't know what they're going to do with his minutes, so I want nothing to do with him at this point. As for Westbrook, he is at $12,000 as he heads for triple-double number 100. The last three times he's taken on the Hawks, he's averaged 68 points. But you need him to get that at $12,000. And with 11 games on the slate, I would only really be considering Westbrook in tournaments. There's real blowout risk here, but I guess some of that's mitigated by the fact that the Thunder are on a back-to-back, could be without Steven Adams, and are on the road. So maybe the blowout's a little bit reduced and Westbrook has to stay in for 34 instead of 30 minutes, which could work in your favor. I still don't like it really as a cash play. At shooting guard, Terrence Ferguson or Alex Abrines? No thanks. At small forward, the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince, he dropped in 57 in the last game. Will he have Paul George on him? Almost 100% definitely, and that is, yes, somewhat of a concern. Taurean has been up and down with his production, obviously, but recently the numbers have been strong, 31 average over his last five, apart from a weird benching in the midst of that when he had just 7 points. At 6,100, I think that is that price is probably a bit high. It takes a lot of the value proposition away from it, and I'd look at that as more of a tournament guy. As for Georgie, $9,000 for PG. Look, it's a solid floor, and you feel like he's going to knock 37 on the head pretty easily, but I want 44, I want 45. Is that going to be the case? I think that's a risky proposition. While Corey Brewer's only at 4,100, let's go. He's getting the playing time, he's getting 20 points, 21, 22 points, yeah, 22 today. At 4,100, I'm okay with it. I'm not sure there's much tournament upside in it, but I think for cash, it is worth a look. Joshie Hustis, no. Power forward, the Baptist, John Collins, 6,000. He had 33 the last time against the Thunder in only 27 minutes. He can very, very comfortably do that again, but I would only be using him as a tournament guy. While Mallow at 57 shook the doldrums off in today's game, and has got a great record against Atlanta, but I'm still not fully convinced of him. Just a quick side note, started watching the TV show Atlanta, almost through season one, and really enjoying it. So, yeah, just thought I'd throw that in. So, you keep you abreast of my TV viewing habits. Jeremy Grant and Pat Patterson would be interesting GPP guys if Steven Adams can't go. At center, the Moose, Mike Muscala, 3,600, playing well. 21 average over his last three, dropped 27 in 23 minutes last time out. A three-point shooting, shot-blocking upside big man at 3,600. I am all about that. He's getting 20 minutes a night, and I feel good at 3,600 that he can be useful to supplement some other high-cost players, especially in tournament lineups. The Undertaker at 6,000, I think that's too expensive, while Adams at 7,000. If he wasn't coming off two injuries, I'd be all about it in this matchup, but he is, so I'm not. Miles Plumlee, unless your contest is who can score the fewest points, I don't think you need to get him in there. On DraftKings, Isaiah Taylor's at 37. That's a little bit high, but I still think there is some tournament upside there, whereas I like Dorsey a lot at 41, and I like the Baptist quite a bit at 54. I think that pushes him into cash territory. Westbrook at 11.5 is a lot more interesting on DraftKings than he is on FanDuel. Still fading Schroeder and pretty tough to use Adams, while formerly is at 6,200, and I think that is definitely pushing the friendship a little bit. Let's move on to the next game. We have got the Toronto Raptors. We've got the Brooklyn Nets. The Raptors are favored by 9.5. The total is 219. This has got blowout all written all over it. Jarrett Allen is questionable for the Nets, while the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He is still dealing with that sprained ankle. If he is out, expect some Malcolm Miller, expect some Norman Powell, but I would also be expecting low minutes for DeMar DeRozan, Jonas Valanciunas, Serge Ibaka, and Kyle Lowry. Elevated minutes for Pascal Siakam, Jakob Poeltl. Love saying those two names together. Freddie VanVleet, Delon Wright, Nigel Hayes, just guys like that who could chime in if this game gets out of hand. We know the Raptors, they show zero mercy in majority of these games, and they could sit on the Nets by 30 here very, very easily, making a lot of their guys relatively risky. At point guard, Freddie VanVleet, 4,800, has been off recently, no doubt about that. 21 average over his last five. Point guards against the Nets, it's a great spot, but I'd only be using VanVleet in a tournament-type setting. While Spence Dinwiddie at 6,300, that's just too expensive for my mind. The VanVleet-Wright-Lowry point guard defense combo is a real nightmare for good point guards. And Dinwiddie could really struggle to get that value back. As for Lowry at 8,000, well, we love the matchup. I just don't know where the minutes sit, so I am sitting that one out. Caris LeVert crushing it. I love LeVert. 5,300 for Caris. He feels like he's getting you 26 or 25 a night at this point. And I think that with D'Angelo Russell so up and down from game to game, there's a real chance he pushes to 30 here, LeVert, and pushes to 30 points. So I like using him. As for D'Angelo's, it's 7,000. 34 in his last game, but he has had a shit good pattern. In fact, Al-Farouq Aminu would be jealous.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He is definitely, the pattern is shit game here, but given that it's it doesn't run by someone's choice saying you're having a bad game, you're having a good game, it's hard to really trust that pattern, but just be aware of his inconsistency. And if you're going to use D'Angelo Russell, you only want to use him as a tournament player. As for DeRozan, the same sort of problem with Lowry minutes. At small forward, the Blue Swimmers at 4,600. He was a nightmare in the last game. Very hard to trust him in cash has always been my thought process on him. Or Dante Cunningham's at 3,600. He's listed as a small forward. If Jarrett Allen's out, I reckon there's a chance that Dante Cunningham starts at center. And at 3,600, maybe he lucks himself into 10 boards and 2 blocks. And that might be enough to actually get value at 3,600. There is also Jahlil Okafor. There's Quincy Acey. There's Tim Mozgov, who can play some minutes there. So it wouldn't be a slam dunk, but there'd be something there. Jumpin' Joe Harris, Damari Carroll. Carroll had been really strong, but at 6,100, do you want to go revenge game? Sure. He has yet to play against the Raptors, injured last time these teams met. I don't think you want to spend that much on him. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson at 5,600. Love the price and love the opportunity if Allen is out. So I'd be all over this for tournaments. And in fact, if Allen is out, I think Rondé for cash is a good option. Siakam's at 44. He's coming off a really big game, 32 points in his last game. It's a great matchup. I just have real trouble trusting Siakam as a consistent fantasy producer, but he has been excellent this year. Only tournaments, really. Serge at 5,200. Look, he's killed this team in the past, but the blowout risk is a real problem, I believe. While Poeltl at 47. Hey, throw Jakob into a tournament. Could he have 4 blocks and 10 boards with 16 points in 24 minutes? Absolutely he could, and that would smash for that value. So he's a tournament guy. Allen Jarrett, that is. No way. And Valanciunas at 7,300. That's too high for a guy whose minutes might be restricted, given the potential blowout. On DraftKings, Dinwiddie's down to 5,500. That's what you attack. You don't use the 6,300 FanDuel. 55, no worries. Caris LeVert at 51, all about it. Cash and tournaments as well. While Valanciunas at 59, centers against the Nets is always something that we have really, really gone to town on. The blowout risk is a concern. The fluctuation in Valanciunas' minutes is a concern. But he could have 40. And at 5,900, it's not 7,000 plus that it was on FanDuel. It is in a really, really nice spot here. Still hard to use it outside of tournaments, though. While D'Angelo at 62, love the price. Don't like the reliability or the consistency that we're seeing from him, as I talked about already. Let's go on to the next game. It's the Dallas Mavericks and the New York Knicks. We've talked about Wes Matthews being out for the season, so we're likely, or almost definitely, going to see Yogi Ferrell make another start. Enes Kanter was a late scratch in the last game for the Knicks with a back issue, while Lance Thomas was dealing with a hand problem. If Thomas is out, you can look, and if Kanter is out, then you look at Lukey Cornett, and you look at maybe a guy like Mick Beasley to take some GPP type of value. As for Ferf, we'll get to Ferrell in a sec. At point guard, who is now going to be the starting shooting guard, Frankie Ntilikina at $4,000. The last time that he played the Mavs, he dropped 30. That is almost the highest score he's had for the season. 40 is his highest score. Only want to use him in a tournament, though. He is just so consistently low, and then the random big game. But I think his ownership will be low. Yogi Ferrell at 4,500. I have very little interest in Yogi Ferrell at that sort of a price, while Manny Moutier at 49. Two strong games in a row from Moutier, but that's coming on the back of a string of real shitful performances. The matchup is not too bad for him here, going up against Dennis Smith. So I think he's worth a tournament look. As for Smith, Moutier. I talked about Memphis before having the third worst point guard defense. The number one worst point guard defense was Brooklyn, and the number two was the New York Knicks. So Smith with Matthews out, meaning more JJ Barea and Ferrell at shooting guard, there's more minutes for Smith at point guard, and he could easily get you 40. Do I think he will? No, I don't. But there's that ability there, and the GPP value with those things pushing in his favor. The shot falls, great matchup, more minutes of other point guards playing in other positions. It all looks to be nice in his favor for tournaments, of course. At shooting guard, Timmy Hardaway at 6,500, just consistently giving you around 30, and I like that for cash. No problem with utilizing Tim, while Kyle Collinsworth is a minimum salary player, but he had 24 points in 25 minutes last game with no Wes. There's no Wes again. Will Kyle get another opportunity to be a big rebounding guard like he was in that game? Sure. Not like the matchup's a tough one. Minimum salary, throw it in a tournament, 11-game slate, could fall through the cracks, played well last game, opportunities there. There's something to see there at least. With Courtney Lee, there's nothing to see. He's at minimum salary also. I would take Collinsworth every single time over Courtney Lee. And what a sentence that is. The pencil, Harrison Barnes, Barnesy. 6,500 for Barnesy. Great matchup. Just boring. He's just a boring player. And it's not true. He's a boring fantasy option. I don't see the upside. I don't see the floor. So that's give that the ass for me. Beasley at 4,900. Lance Thomas is out. I'm about Beasley. But he only had 23 in the last game with no Cantor and no Thomas. So, probably a little bit overvalued, I think he might be. Troy Williams at minimum salary. Not much to like there. Doug McDirt, revenge game. Nope. Finney Smith, Lance Thomas at power forward. That's the position. Dirk Nowitzki, 5,200. The minutes are on the way down. It's a great matchup for Dirk, but I am not interested. While Dwight Powell's at 5,900. This guy just keeps cranking out big numbers, but I hate that price. I like the matchup. I hate the price. So bring it down at a lower price on a different site. I think it's a real good opportunity for him to have a high efficiency night, block some shots, score 15 points, nine boards, and really get that 5,900 value. 5,500 value. Just not sure it's 5,900. Lukey Cornett had 28 in that game. He started for Cantor. He's at minimum salary. Of course, you throw him into a tournament. Yeah, you can't not. But the games before, he played 3 minutes in each of those two. But if Cantor's out and we don't hear lock news before the game's locked, you've got to throw him in. I reckon you also have to make the exact same lineup and put Isaiah Hicks in one of them. Because what if they start Hicks if Cantor's out? What if they start Hicks if Thomas is out? At minimum salary, he's nowhere near the fantasy option that Cornette is, but they could go that route. And there is something there to see. Nerlens Noel at 4,200. We know that Noel can rack up stats in minimal minutes. I think he is a really good GPP guy. If they give him 25 minutes, he'll beat this value. If they give him 17, he still might, but it's less likely. The Cock Monster at 5,500. Kylo Quinn's averaging 29 over the last three and 27 over the last five. That's strong. Will they limit Cantor's minutes? Probably. Will he play? Who knows? Cock at 5,500. It is really hard to say he's a cash guy, but I think here he's a cash guy. As for Cantor at 6,900, I'm gonna leave that alone. Let's move it on to the DraftKings side of things. Cock at 4,700 is really, really nice there. And pretty much the other stuff that I mentioned, I didn't talk about JJ Barea actually, who even last game with Wes Matthews couldn't crack 25 minutes, cranked out a ton of assists. And at 5,500, he's got a level of intrigue here, especially in a really, really good matchup. He would be a tournament sort of guy on both sides, but more DraftKings. Nil Aquino and Noel at sub 4,000 on DraftKings also do have some pretty nice GPP value. Let's go on to the next one. This is the LA Clippers. It's the Chicago Bulls. The Clippers are favored by 6.5. The total is 224.5. I thought I'd figured out the Bulls. I thought I'd figured out what they were going to do. The league mandated rest rules were that you can't sit starters on the road, but you can sit one of them when you get home. Now that's cool. That's all. I know what's going to happen. Justin Holiday is going to sit this game out at home. All good. And then he sat out the last game on the road. So now I don't know what is going to happen, but they have got absolutely no reason to play both Holiday and Lopez in this game. And because Holiday sat the last game, I would be fairly stunned if Robin Lopez plays in this one. Now, not that Lopez is a big DFS option, but it opens up value for Punchbob Shiploke. It gives him an extra 3 to 4 minutes. If Holiday was out, we'd be looking at the Hammer Denzel Valentine. We'd be looking at David Nwaba. Shit, we'd be looking at Antonio Blakeney a little bit. But I think that Holiday is back in this one, and Lopez sits it out. No Rooster as well. Chrissy Dunn at $7,000. Decent matchup for Dunny. His play has been okay lately, but I don't really love it for cash. It's just not strong enough value there. While Austin Rivers at $6,400. This is strong value. This is a good matchup for Rivers. I feel like the Clippers are going to change their starting lineup, and we'll see Lou Williams back on the bench, and Rivers will start alongside Milos Teodosic. But I think at 6,400 against the Bulls, he's in a pretty good spot. As for Teodosic, 4,600, maybe. It's definitely not exciting. It's definitely not high upside, and it's definitely not high floor. How about my boy Campaign? He's at 3,600. He's averaging 18 over his last five. He had 21 in the last game. He is playing at a consistently high level, but he is just not going to get big minutes. And that takes away the value. Now, if Hoiberg goes completely unconventional and sits done and you get 30 out of Campaign, that would be absolutely 100% the play of the day. I just don't think that's going to happen. Sindarius Thornwell started the last couple. He's 3,600. He can get you 25. If he starts, I just don't necessarily think that he's... Sorry, he can get you 25 if he plays 30 minutes. He played 30-plus in one game. He played like 15 the next. So not really the most reliable option. Zachy LaVine, 6,500. The shot is just way off for LaVine. Just can't get anything cracking. Not interested in using him. While Lou Williams at 8-4, that is too... The matchup's good. That is too expensive. You're needing 42 to 43 out of Williams. And while he's good... He's more 35, 36 good at the moment, so I'm not all that keen on using him. Holiday, he's only going to play limited minutes. The Hammer, Denzel Valentine, 5,400. 31 points in that last game with Holiday out in only 26 minutes. It's not like he was playing an exorbitant amount of minutes. I am really interested in him as a GPP guy. It's a strong, strong matchup for him. Really comfortably got 35-point upside, so I'm all about him for tournaments. Nwaba at 43 with Holiday there. They're taking a lot off the top of Nwaba's minutes. I've got no interest in using him. At power forward, Punchbob Shiploke, 6,600. He had 44 for the Bulls in the last game. We know he is just a junk time specialist. So if the Clippers get on top early, Punchbob's going to be in there jacking shots as much as possible. I like him for tournaments with my estimation that Lopez is out. While Lauri Markkanen at 6,100 again feels like LaVine, maybe $300-$400 too expensive. So not interested. Well, Noah Vonleh, been impressed with him over the course of his time in Chicago. He's a minimum salary guy. If you are looking, now this is going to sound stupid, but if we get word that Lopez is out, if you are looking for a bloke at minimum salary to facilitate your other players, you can get 20 out of him. Easy 20, almost like a flat 20. That's it, done. And that's not bad value. It's probably not going to win you a GPP, but it could really help you get enough value into a cash lineup. The table, Montrezl Harrell's at 5,400. That number's pushing, but the matchup's a great one. He can abuse Punchbob, no doubt. I wouldn't feel great about locking Harrell in, though. Well, Toby Harris at 8,800. He is scorching, but that price is a little too hot for me. So I think Toby Harris at 88 is probably too high. At center, DeAndre Jordan is the only one we want to talk about here. Chris Felizio and Boban, we can leave them. Jordan at 8,200. The matchup is really, really in his favor. You know, getting 40 is not too hard, but you want more than 40 at 8,200. So I think he's more of a 35, 36 point player, and not really feeling like he's in a must play cash guy again, especially with so many guys being in play. On DraftKings, Rivers at 6,000, I like. The Hammer at 47, all about Denzel at 47. That is a stupid low price. Okay, he can be shit, no doubt about that, but I'm all about Denzel at that sort of a salary. While Punchbob at 65 is also strong. Not much else really standing out. Yeah, DeAndre, Lou, Toby, they're all probably a little bit too highly priced. Still out on LaVine, but Markkanen has a little bit more appeal on DraftKings at 5,800, and Vonleh at 34. Sure, you can go with that one, as I just touched on before. Let's go to the next game. We have got the Charlotte Hornets and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans trying to arrest a two-game slide. They are favored by 4.5. The total is 230 points, almost the highest total of the day. Cody Zeller is doubtful with his knee playing up on him. We're still not seeing much Willie Hernangómez. Big Bill is not having the greatest season. Kemba Walker, 8,300 for Kemba. I'll tell you what's not stopping him, Rajon Rondo's defense. But Rondo might not see the court. He's been under 25 minutes, or you'll see it. He's been under 25 minutes the last two games. 8,300 for Kemba is really just a tournament bet for me. Not really looking super keen for that in cash. As for Rondo at 5,900, averaging 20 over the last three, he has fallen out of favor. Could very well fall back into favor, but I wouldn't be banking on him in cash, and the upside's not high enough. At shooting guard, Malik Monk, the backup point guard, he's a minimum salary player. Sure, differentiate yourself in the tournament, no worries. Nothing more than that. And even then, if you're throwing single entry in, he's not in my single entry. At small forward, Kid Gilchrist at 37, Jez Lamb at 45, Etuan Moore at 43. No interest in them. Actually, I probably should have talked about a couple other shooting guards. So no interest in those small forwards. Batum's at 7,000. Like it. Drew Holiday at 8,900. Woof, that's a price. That is a expensive price. Will it pay off? I'll let someone else take that risk. Darius Miller, probably not, small forward. Nick Mirotic, $6,000 power forward. I think 22 minutes is more likely than 32 minutes. So translation, no, don't want it. Check Diallo, no thanks. Marvin Williams at 4,300. Big game for the last one out there for Marv with 34 points in 27 minutes, but I don't feel really all that interested in utilizing him. While Frank the Tank at 43 has been playing pretty well, Kaminsky, but again, low upside, low floor, not really an interesting play. The big name here, Tone Davis. He is at $12,900. I think that's more of a tournament guy where you want to throw some low price guys in alongside him. That is a big price, but this guy's kicking ass. He is averaging 65 over the last three, but you know what? At 65, that's really where you need to be at 12,900, and he can very easily drop 100, and that sounds stupid, but he's out of 96 already. He can do it, but that 12,9 is really, really tough to use, and I wouldn't want to use it outside of tournaments. Dwight Howard, 8,400 for Dwighty. He's putting up some big games recently. The matchups have been way more favorable than what this one is. This is sort of middle of the pack. He's been going up against the Nets, which obviously fuels some bigger performances, and the Bulls, I believe, was in his recent past. I think I'd leave him at 84 at Emeka Okafor. Also, not really tickling my fancy. On DraftKings, Tone Davis, 11-2. Bang. That's what you smash. That is beautiful. That is your high price guy that you want. I love that for Tone Davis. Not much else really stands out. Kemba and Drew at 8 and 8-2 are okay. Holiday in a much more favorable situation here than he is on FanDuel. Batum at 7-1, probably a little bit too high. Howard at 85, again, probably also a little bit too high. So not much that I super love on the DraftKings side of that Pelicans-Hornets matchup. The Orlando Magic and the San Antonio Spurs on a back-to-back. Manu should be back, but we don't know if LaMarcus Aldridge will play. And on the Orlando side, Evan Fournier is out, but Aaron Gordon has been upgraded to questionable. If Gordon is out, then we get a boost in John Isaac and Mario Hezonja. If Gordo is in, then both of those guys take somewhat of a hit. I think Hezonja takes the biggest one. They'll still want to give 24 to 25 minutes to John Isaac, whereas they're not as heavily invested in Hezonja, so I can see those minutes dipping. With the Spurs, literally anything's up in the air. If Aldridge is out, we might get Bertans, we might get Gay, who started today. We might get 30 minutes from Powell, we might get 15 minutes from Powell. Shit, we might get 27 minutes of Joffrey Laverne. Anything is in play with the Spurs, and it makes them really, really tough to use. At point guard, DJ Augustine's at 4,500. Spurs have been, you know, for big stretches through January, were one of the worst teams to play against for DFS. It's not as much the case now as what it was, and point guards are a slight positive. And Augustine's been decently solid, but definitely not someone that I want to really write home about. Pat Mills at 42, nope. Tone Parker, nope. Shelvin Mack, no. Rodney Purvis, he's real. No, DeJounte Murray at $7,000. Murray at that price, I think that's too expensive, but the matchup is sexy. Point guards against the Magic, put up big numbers. Can he block shots? Sure. Can he get rebounds? Sure. Can he get to the rim and score? Probably in this matchup. I think it's a tournament go just because of the matchup here. At shooting guard, Dan Green and Manu Ginobili, no way. Let's move on to small forwards because I like John Simmons here. I don't like John Simmons as a player. I think he's slightly overrated, fantasy circles, real life circles. But with Fournier out and the potential that Gordon's out again, at $6,000, he is getting all you can eat. He's getting usage out the wazoo. He's handling the ball. He's averaging 32 over his last three. And I think he gets another game of over 30 against his former team. His zone is at $4,800. Has been disappointing in the two games that Gordo's missed. He'd be a tournament guy while Gay at $4,400. Started, had 23 today, but that's really nothing to write home about. Kyle Anderson at $5,600 has played well. Obviously not that well today, given the weirdness of that game. I just think, again, low upside, shaky floor. Not really the guy that I'm all that keen on. At power forward, LaMarcus Aldridge at $8,500. A good matchup for Aldridge, but how much is he going to play with a sore knee? Is he going to play with a sore knee? I think there are better guys out there. Well, Johnny Isaac at 44. He had 32 FanDuel points in the last game, mainly on the back of his defense, and he can do that. If Gordon's out, I think he's a strong tournament guy. If Gordon is unknown, I still think he's a pretty good tournament guy. If Gordon is in, I think he gets more minutes at small forward, which could help him perimeter-wise get his hands on a few more balls.
Giggity!
But yeah, he would obviously lessen in priority if Gordo is playing, but otherwise he is a pretty good GPP guy. As for Azar himself, $7,800 for Gordo. With no Fournier, usage falls a lot more on him. Could mean bad efficiency, but it could also mean a bludgeoning into a 45-plus night, so he'd be an interesting tournament guy. Gasol's at $6,500. That's too high, I believe. Well, Vooch at 8-6 is also venturing into the too high category. On to DraftKings, I like DeJounte at 58 because that is a big, big discrepancy in price. I'm all about that. Great matchup, good price. Well, John Isaac at 37, that's very hard to go past. Cash tournaments, Gordon in, Gordon out. I'm all about Isaac at 3,700. Aldridge at 83 is not bad, same as Vooch, but definitely not the ones that I'm penciling in as my number one options there. While Gordo at 72 is clearly on your tournament list of guys to have a crack at. Let's move on to the next one. We have got the Detroit Pistons and the Utah Jazz. The Jazz are favored by 8. The total is the lowest of the day, 198.5. The Pistons are questionable with Dwight Bikes. They are questionable with Stan the Man Johnson. They are questionable with Reggie Bullock. If Bullock and Johnson are out, then you're talking about Jim Ennis going sick. You're talking about as much Lukey Kennard as you can get. And you're going to get Langston Galloway probably back in the mix despite being a DMP CD the last couple of games. And if Dwight Bikes is out, shit, you're going to get Jameer Nelson and Langston Galloway getting some big minutes. So there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of differences, which of course we cover with our what-if scenarios over on Basketball Monster. At point guard, Ravishing Rick Rubio is averaging 38 over his last five. He had 48 in the last game. He's at 7,500. The matchup is sexy. The price is not. That's a big price at $7,500. And while he has been comfortably exceeding that, I would only be using him as a tournament guy. Ish Smith at $5,300. Ish Smith could play 38 minutes if Bikes is out. But we know that Stan Van Gundy is the captain of the Jameer Nelson Dutch ruddership. So we could very easily get 20 minutes of Jameer and 28 of Ish. This is a long way of me saying I don't love Ish Smith at $5,300. Kennard at 36, no real interest. If you get Johnson and Bullock out, all over it, all about Lukey. He had 24 in 31 bench minutes in the last game. So if we get that opportunity at 3,600 and those two blokes are out, smash the shit out of it. He might only get you 24, but that's fine at 3,600. Alec Burks at minimum salary, Alec Burks at 3,500, no thank you. At small forward, Jingle and Joe, $6,400, just constantly giving you a 30. I want a bit more, Joey. I want 36, 35. He's fine. He's not a bad cash play, but I think there are better guys out there. Bullock, Royce O'Neal, Stan Johnson, Jim Ennis. Well, Ennis, of course, we're looking at pretty intently if Johnson and Bullock are out, the other guy's not keen on. Jay Crowder at $5,100. Will you get 33-point Jay Crowder? Will you get 11-point Jay Crowder? all available evidence tells you the odds are going to be 11-point Jay Crowder more than they are going to be 33-point Jay Crowder, which was his highest score of the season just two games ago. The matchup's a good one for Jay. A tournament would be all I'd be looking at with him here, though. Derek Favors at 5,800. I want nothing to do with Favors at this point. Blakey Griffin at 8,600. Looks to have turned his play around, but I hate that price for Griffin. I think he's a nice $8,000 guy. 86 is maybe pushing it a bit too far. Yurepko, Moreland, Tolliver, no thanks. Andre Drummond, 9,800. I've said this many times, Gobert is an excellent center, but players are putting up fantasy numbers on him. And Drummond is a guy that's just constantly giving you 40, 45 points, averaging 41 over his last five. He averages 46 against Gobert anyway in the Jazz. I think that he is a pretty good option here to use more for tournaments, while Gobert at 9,500, that's probably a bit high. I would take Drummond over Gobert, even though I need an additional $300. Actually, I forgot to talk about the Don. Let's do him now. Don Mitchell, $8,000. It's a quick one. No, it's too expensive. Love what the Don can do. He's not that good. He's not an $8,000 player, I don't believe. On DraftKings, Drummond at 85. That is smasherific. Jingling Joe at 58. Also like that for cash and tournaments. While 4,400 for Jay Crowder is a nice GPP. While Ravishing Rick at 68 is also a tournament type guy. Gobert at 78. That is a significantly lower price than on FanDuel. And I'm all about that. In fact, I would prefer Gobert to Drummond on DraftKings. The inverse is true on FanDuel. We have got two games to go. Hopefully you guys are still with me. If you are, you can tweet me the code word to this podcast, which is Double Nickel. Tweet that to me if you are still listening, of course. Let's go on to the next game. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's the Phoenix Suns. The Cavs are favored by 7. The total is 230. The good news is that Joshie Jackson, Devin Booker, and TJ Warren have all been upgraded to probable. Chetty Osman is out for the Cavs. Rocket Rodney Hood is doubtful, so expect a bit more Jeff Green, maybe some Johnny Holland or London Perentes. Again, real players. And Alan Williams, a guy that we haven't seen anything of this season, who had a nice, interesting stretch down the end of last year, could be back. Now, he was a guy that, again, people tended to overrate quite a bit, but I wouldn't want to use him in his first game back, but he's definitely going to be someone to monitor to see how they use him. At point guard, Georgie Hill, 4,700. The matchup is absolutely sublime for Hill here, but he is so up and down with his production, you can only use him, I believe, in a tournament setting. While Lord Alfred Payton at 7,900 has done very well against Cleveland in the past, but that price is quite prohibitive, so I think that he is a fade over on FanDuel. Calderon, no. Shooting guards, let's have a look. Devin Booker, 8,200 for Book. He is averaging 41 over the last five. I think that's totally fine to use him in cash. You should feel really confident about using him. While Jordy Clarkson at 46, the matchup is fantastic. He was disgracefully bad against the Lakers, just 8 points. And at 4,600, that doesn't cut it, clearly. But the matchup's great, so there's clear GPP upside here. While Kyle Korver at 4,400, with the injuries on the wing to Osman and Hood, Korver's going to get that extra playing time and going to have 30-point upside, which is not bad value at that sort of a salary. The Plumber at 37, J.R. Smith, is also worth a tournament look. Shaq Harrison signed for the rest of the year. Congratulations to him. Really loved what he's done this season. But with everyone back healthy, it's unlikely he can push for the 28 points he had last game. But at 3,700, he could throw him into a tournament. I probably wouldn't. At small forward, TJ Warren at $7,000. Missed the last game, but he is back. There is clear tournament upside here for him to get a 40 as well. Good tournament play. Joshie Jackson at 53. Again, GPP sort of a guy. LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Thank you. 12,500 for LeBron. Davis is 12,900. That's more extraordinarily high. This is still pretty big for LeBron. Real blowout risk here. But hey, this team has been struggling, the Cavs, so maybe they can't get the blowout. And in that case, I would love using LeBron in a GPP. You feel like he's going to get you 50 guaranteed. And the reason you feel that is because his lowest score in the last five is 49.9. So you're going to get 50, but you want 60. You want 65 out of LeBron. But that's not too much of a stretch, especially here against the Suns. A power forward, Dragan Bender, no thank you. Jeff Green, 38.
My name is Jeff.
He was shit against the Lakers. There's no denying that in a start at small forward. But he is that random guy who's going to drop a 40 in one game before the end of the year. Might as well be this one. Sure, why not? Throw it into a tournament. Chris, no thanks. Larry Nance at 7,800. That is no value. No way. Too expensive. Although, centers do go big against the Suns, but not that big. At center, Tyson Chandler at 43. I'm not interested there. Well, Ante Zizic, minimum salary, 28 points in the last game for Zizic. Do we get extended Ante minutes? Sure. Can he produce? Clearly. What is his ownership going to be? Has to be minuscule. I like it for a tournament. If you used him in the last game, the Cavs played against the Lakers, he had 28 points. Smashed it. But, definitely not a cash guy that you're looking at. Alex Len, no. On DraftKings, tournament guys, Corver, I love at 36, TJ Warren at 63, and Lord Alfred at 73. I think Devin Booker at 86 is too expensive. While LeBron at 11.6, much like Davis's much smaller price on DraftKings, LeBron at 11.6 is a strong, strong cash play. Clarko is still a tournament guy. Well, Larry Nance comes down to 7,000, much better than FanDuel. Still not super, super appealing. The last game of the night, the Denver Nuggets, the Los Angeles Lakers. The Nuggets are favored by 2. The total is 231 points. There is a chance that Jamal Murray, the Blue Arrow, does not get out of Staples Center alive. Lakers hate him. I know he's given them shit, but they hate him with an irrational amount of hatred. It's funny to watch from the sidelines, but they dislike the Blue Arrow. But he could absolutely go bananas here in this game. He's at 6,400 in his last three games. He's averaged 38 against the Lakers. Great opportunity for the Blue Arrow to go bananas again. Not really ready for cash at that price, but definitely worth a tournament look. Lonzo Ball's at 7,800, and point guards against the Nuggets, they go off. Lonzo had 42 in his matchup against Denver already this season. Can easily do that again. All about using Lonzo here. So I like both these point guards. Be a good stack option too, I believe. Well, Isaiah Thomas at 6,700. Matchup suits him. Played well against the Cavs. Could he get... Mike Malone used to be his coach, didn't he? I think, could he do something against his former coach? No doubt. 6,700 for Thomas. I think he's worth using, no doubt to me. Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
6,500 for Gazza. Yep, I'm all about that for cash. Probably less interested in tournaments, but still. Yeah, and guys, I'll say that maybe not tournament guys, but cash guys. If you create a cash lineup, you just throw it into a tournament anyway, because you'd hate it. It happened to me once, where you put in this cash lineup, you don't put it in the tournament, and then you look and you go, I would have won that tournament with the cash lineup. So that's it's always a great feeling. Will Barton's at 6,500. He is just unbelievably inconsistent, averaging 21 over his last three, but had a 42-point game in his last five. Been some blowouts in there. At 6,500, I do really like this for Barton. I think I'd be okay with using him. KCP's at 6,800. I would take Barton over KCP definitely in a tournament. In cash, it's probably a toss-up. At small forward, Babianex at 5,000. Surprisingly good record against the Lakers, averaging 38 the last three times. I think that that's more tournament-y type value here, though. No Brandon Ingram in this game. So you're going to get a power forward, the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, starting at small forward. He's at $7,000. He's playing a shit ton of minutes. This is a good matchup for Kuzma. I'm all about using him at $7,000. Paulie Millsap at 6,700. Hopefully he doesn't, it's not as much of a blowout as the last game where he didn't need to play. At 6,700, though, I think you can find better. Mason Plumlee at 4,000 is not better. Trey Lyles at minimum salary, no thank you. Derek Williams, Travis Weir, also no. At center, Brooke Lopez, 6,700. Apparently just playing 32 minutes a night from now on. Who knows why, but he is. And he's crushing, 41 average in the last three, 36 in the last five. I really like this here for Lopez. Well, Nikola Jokic, 9,700, has got his groove back, averaging 50 over the last three, but I wouldn't be ready to lock him in on an 11-game slate. He's more of a tournament sort of a guy. Well, Zubats, no thanks, mate. At DraftKings, lots of cash options here. KCP, Lopez, Kuzma, Isaiah, Jokic. You got Lonzo you could also throw into that mix. Julius Randle, I think, is probably a little bit too highly priced. Same as on FanDuel, but yeah, absolutely got that 70-point upside, so you can look at him as a GPP guy. And the Blue Arrow at 62 is also in a pretty strong spot on DraftKings as well as FanDuel. All right, let's wrap this long bastard of a podcast up. On Yahoo for tournaments, we're looking at Punchbob, Shiploke, The Hammer, Cock, Fred VanVleet, Jakob Poeltl, Jordan Clarkson, Kyle Korver, Johnny Isaac, Mason Plumlee, Isaiah Taylor, The Moose, Mike Muscala. For cash and tournaments, Corey Brewer, Jimmy Ennis, Yogi Ferrell, Manny Moutier, Tyler Dorsey, Jay Crowder, Drew Holiday, Rudy Gobert, Townsie, Embiid, and Tone Davis. On Moneyball for tournaments, it is Tone Davis, TJ Warren, Lord Alfred Payton, Punchbob, DeJounte, Paulie Millsap, Wigo, Pau Gasol, The Hammer, Cock, Jay Crowder, George Hill, Jordy Clarkson, Manny Moutier, Yogi, Milosh, Nilakina, and The Moose. And for cash, we've got Isaiah Taylor, Johnny Isaac, Tyler Dorsey, Miles Turner, Timmy Hardaway, Brooke Lopez, the future MVP, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Townsie, and Embiid. And wrap it up with draft stars. We have got Embiid for... let's go tournaments first. Payton, Punchbob, TJ Warren, Larry Nance, DeJounte Murray, The Hammer, Kyle O'Quinn, Kyle Korver, Emmanuel Moutier, Frank the Tank Kaminsky, Frankie Ntilikina. For cash and for tournaments, we've got Shaki Harrison, Corey Brewer, Isaiah Taylor, John Isaac, Tyler Dorsey, The Baptist, Zach LaVine, Austin Rivers, Kyle Kuzma, Isaiah Thomas, Drew Holiday, and Joel Embiid. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, 5-star rating, give me a review. It's the greatest way that you can show your support of this podcast. You can also find it on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify, and on YouTube, where you can leave a thumbs up. You can subscribe and you can leave a comment. Guys, check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network at Locked On NBA Net. We are done here. Code word, double nickel. Throw it out there. Big thanks to MyBookie as well, whose promo code is Locked On NBA. But if you're still listening to this podcast, go and throw me a double nickel. Tweet on Twitter, Josh Lloyd, at @RedRock_Bball. You know where to find me. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Evan Turner.